What's the difference between just a convert and a disciple? What's the difference between someone who just professes only? They say, okay, have you ever had someone come this to you? Yeah, man, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be at that party. I'm going to be at your house. I'm going to come over, whatever. And then the next day they give you a call and they're like, eh, no. They said with their mouth they were going to do something, or they just didn't show up. You know what I'm talking about? So what's the difference between someone who just says with their lips, they just profess only, and then someone who actually follows? Actions speak louder than words, right? That's true. Jesus tells a parable. He has two sons. This father has two sons. And the father says to the sons, I want you to go work out in the field. The first son looks at the father and goes, yes, absolutely. I'm going to go work all day. I'll work hard. I'll labor long and steady, and you'll be proud of me. And the father's pleased and says, yes, that's great. The second son looks at the father and goes, no way. I don't want anything to do with working in the yard today. I don't want to help you. And he goes off and does his own thing. So the father goes out to work in the yard, and he waits for his sons to come. And the first son who said, yes, I'm going to come, I'm going to work, doesn't show up. But the other son, who initially rejected his father and says, I want nothing to do with whatever you want, I want to do what I want to do, that son shows up and works in the field. Which one was the father pleased with? The one that showed up. So what I want to do is bridge the gap between just professing and bridge that to where your lips match the rest of your lifestyle. Your lips and your lifestyle have to go hand in hand. Does that make sense? Okay, I'm going to share with you practical things that bless me and that are beneficial. And I hope you write them down. I hope that it sticks with you so that tomorrow, because this is huge. If tonight, my goal is not tonight. My goal is not tonight. My goal is tomorrow. My goal is not for you to do something and say, yes, I'm gonna read God's word. I'm gonna follow Him. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna be obedient tonight and not do it tomorrow. My goal is for you to do it tomorrow and to help you in that. Does that make sense? So if everyone walks out the room tonight and says, you know, Sean, I'm going to do that, and then no one does it tomorrow, then I've wasted my time and you wasted your time and it's been a big waste. So my goal is tomorrow. My goal is for you to take these truths, chew on them, and put them, enact them in your life. Okay? Let's pray. And then we'll look at the text and look at Scripture. Dear Jesus, Lord, your gospel, your life, your death, your resurrection is all that we have. Lord, it's our only hope. It's what wakes us up. And God, I ask that you would come. I ask that during these next 30 minutes that you would be lifted high and that you would draw us. Lord, please draw us to your Son. God, I pray that you will show us the urgency and necessity of abiding in you. And Lord, please come, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, give us hearts to receive, Lord. I pray that what takes place tonight will shake our community, will shake our country, future generations, and Lord, I pray that it will continue out to the nations, Lord. I pray this in faith, trusting you, and relying, hide me behind the cross tonight. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay, John 15. Read along with me as I read it. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He, the vine dresser, takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me. That means dwell in me. And I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and then underline this if you're reading along, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so, underline this, so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then underline this verse. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Okay. The picture Jesus gives is what?
Grapevine.
Grapevine, right? A vine. How many of you guys have actually ever seen a vine, or you just know of a vine? Ever actually seen one, like been to a vineyard?
I've eaten grapes.
You've eaten grapes. Good. Me too. They're pretty good. Vine's growing. The only thing a vine is really good for is what?
Grapes.
Bearing fruit, right? Vine. Have you ever heard of a vine, I don't know, a vine diner kitchen set? Like a vine chair. No, you don't find furniture made from vines, do you? Baskets, but they're not really vines. Vines aren't really good for building anything. You can't. Okay, have you ever heard of a house being built out of vines?
No.
No. Yeah. You can get a house with vines, but never built out of them. Yeah. That's creepy. You've swallowed a vine.
I thought I swung on.
Oh, swung on a vine. They're good for swinging. Other than swinging, they're not good for anything except bearing fruit. They're not even good to be burned. You don't. If you've ever been camping, you don't go and say, "Hey, man, let's go collect some vines for our firewood." I mean, it doesn't work. Vines are only good for bearing fruit. So if a vine doesn't bear fruit, it's useless. Right? What good is a vine if it doesn't do what a vine is supposed to do? Nothing. It's a waste. Here's the crux or the necessity or the importance of the text tonight. As a believer, which if you profess Christ, you claim to be a believer, you must, I'm going to write this down, you must and will produce fruit if you are a true believer. If you're a true believer, you must and will produce fruit. I'm going to write this down. This is another good phrase to write. The fruit is evidence of the root. Let me ask you this. How do you know that an apple tree is an apple tree?
It has apples on it.
It has apples on it. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen an orange tree bear apples? No. What do orange trees produce?
Oranges.
Oranges. Whatever the root is of the tree, the root determines the fruit. Right? Jesus says it this way in Matthew 7. A good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. So, the vital sign, the sign of a believer's life, must and will be fruit. That here's the point of Jesus' passage. Let me give you another example. I was talking. I got to go to Vietnam over the winter on a missions trip, and I was talking with a Vietnamese student that lived in Louisville before I left, and I was trying to explain to him the connection between good works and faith. And he was very confused. He was not from a Christian background. He was Buddhist. And he said, "So let me ask you, why do you do good works if your salvation is not based on your works? Why even do good things? If your salvation is based only on faith, what's the point of good works?" And he was really confused. And I tried to explain it this way. An apple tree doesn't produce apples to become an apple tree. Right? An apple tree produces apples because it is an apple tree. Does that make sense? So, here's the relationship with faith and good works. Our faith is the very thing that produces the works in our life. The works flow out of faith. Let me show you this in the text here. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
Now, Jesus doesn't mean we really can't do things like physical things like breathe and eat and those things. Unbelievers do that, and you know, that's normal. What he's talking about here when he says, you can do nothing without me, he's saying you can produce nothing of spiritual significance, nothing eternal without being in me. That's huge. Because I remember when I think I was a freshman. I may have been an eighth grader. I don't remember. I was trying to live for the Lord, and I really wanted to serve God. And here's how I went about doing it. I knew that I was not very nice to people. Some of that might shock you. I knew I wasn't very nice to people, so I thought, you know what? I gotta start saying encouraging things to people, because that's what a good Christian does. So, I'm not lying, this is really stupid, but I would like put a reminder on my hand, I would write something on my hand to say something nice to someone, like, "Oh, I like your shirt," or something encouraging. So what would happen is I would say something bad about him, like, "Oh, that was stupid." And then I would go, "Your hair looks great today." Something stupid like that. And the whole deal was me trying to be good and doing outward things when there was nothing good inside me. I remember I tried for so long to have a devotional time on my own. And I tried to have a devotional time. Like, I knew you're supposed to. I know the Christian's supposed to study God's Word. I don't know if I really want to or not, but I'm going to force myself to do it. And so I would put up a clock, you know, put on like 10 minutes, and I would say, "All right, I'm going to study the Scripture for 10 minutes. And so I would get to reading, and I would look over the clock every 2 minutes. I'm like, "Wow, only a minute's passed? Wow, that's awful." And I'll keep going, "Oh man, I got 10 more minutes of this." That's the wrong way to go about it. That's the wrong way to go about doing that. It was all external, me trying to reform myself, me trying to fix myself. When the problem was, I wasn't abiding in the vine, I wasn't letting Christ indwell me, and so instead of it being an inward compulsion, it was an outward legalistic religion. Does that make sense? Okay. Here's the secret to your Christian life. I'm going to throw it at you. Here's the secret to being a disciple. Real discipleship and real faith is this: letting the reality of your faith change the way you live. What real faith looks like is letting the reality of the gospel, Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, change the way you live, think, feel, and act, and how you spend your time from the inside out, rather than you trying to force it upon yourself. It is being attached to the vine of Jesus by faith and letting Him produce the fruit in you. Okay, so all that's preliminary. Now look at this. I'm going to show you two reasons. Now, I'm going to show you basically, oh man, there's so much going around my brain. Okay. I'm going to show you the necessity of doing it in verse 2. And why it's so crucial, why it's so imperative. Look at this. He says, any branch in me, verse 2, that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Look down further. Look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. Burnt. Now, some people interpret this to say that this is believers that have lost their salvation. That's not what I don't believe that. What I believe this is, I want to show you, and by the way, you need to work out in your own, in yourself, questions, walk through with the Lord questions that are really important and significant to why you go to a certain denomination. You need to wrestle with questions like, can a believer lose his salvation? Yes or no? You need to work through those things and understand why you go to New Hope Baptist Church. Those things are important. You need to understand why we baptize with immersion. Why do people not do that? You need to understand and work through those things, examining the Scripture. Because if you don't, you won't know what, you'll just be living off someone else's religion. You need to understand why people believe certain things that split different churches, so that you, when you meet someone from a different background, you can know how to relate to them and share your faith with them. That's important. So anyway, I'd love to go into the reasons why I believe all this, but I'll just show you briefly. I believe this is referring to someone, when it says the branches are removed, I believe it's referring to someone who was never a believer, and I'll show you why. Look at verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Your fruit proves whether you are a true believer or not. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 7. I'm going to write this down. Matthew 7, I believe it's 23. Here, I'll just look it up. Matthew 7. Seven fifteen through twenty. And Jesus is talking about the trees that bear fruit and the ones that don't bear fruit. In verse 21, he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many works in your name? And he will look at them and say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now that's a scary passage. But it does not have to be scary for the believer who is in the vine and producing fruit. Because what Jesus says here to the people who have no fruit in their life, He doesn't say, yeah, you were a Christian and you lost it. He says, turn from me, I never knew you. Never knew you. So, your fruit shows the root. Okay? Now, flip back to John 15. Oh, there's so much here. Okay. When a baby is born, A baby either grows or he dies. How many of you guys have seen a 90-year-old baby?
In a movie.
Benjamin Button.
You never see a 90-year-old baby.
Benjamin Button.
The baby grows up. Unless it's different. But most people grow up. Am I right? I mean, no one in the room here. I mean, seriously, let's think about it. You guys aren't like still, you know, chewing on pacifiers and, you know, like crime wah wah. Well, Blake is, but you know, we're not going to talk about that. The point is this: you grow. There are no perpetually baby believers. There are no believers who remain babies through their whole life. Their whole existence, they either grow or they die. They either bear fruit or they're taken away and burned. That's the point of John 15. So, let me ask you, if you've been a believer for more than, has anyone been a believer for more than 5 years? Come on, don't be shy, come on. Okay, more than 10 years. Anyone? Yeah, okay, let me ask you a question. Do you love Jesus more now than you did 10 years ago? Hopefully your answer is yes. If not, something's wrong. Do you love Jesus more than you did 5 years ago? Hopefully yes. If not, something's wrong. So, abiding in the vine is crucial to your Christian life. Now, let me show you the first way when I say abiding, what does it look like? What does it look like to abide in the vine? That's kind of the question I want to unpack. What does that look like? Yeah, give me some ideas. So what? I can't hear, sorry. Remain, okay. Remain in the vine. How do you remain in the vine? How do you abide, dwell? Give me some ideas. How do you nourish your relationship with Christ?
You
seek Him. You pray.
Study His Word.
Spend more time with Him. Anyone else? I'm not going to throw anything at you.
Sing.
Worship. Okay. Let me give you some examples. I'm going to give you, write these down. The first one is the Word, which we harped on last week. The Word. And I'm going to pull all these from this text that we're looking at tonight. The Word, love, love for God, love for others, obedience. Those are the three we're going to look at. Love, Word, obedience. Okay? Let me show you this. Look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and what? Say it loud.
My words abide in you.
If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Now, here's some things that I kind of want to throw at you. When I talk about the Word abiding in you, I mean a daily, consistent, dwelling event in your life. Let me ask you this. Are you consumed with the Word of God? Are you consumed with the Word of God? Could you say honestly, don't tell me, but could you say honestly, God's Word abides in me on a regular basis? If you want to take the camp experience and everything that took place last week, and you want it to continue through the rest of your life, you cannot do that unless you spend time in the Word of God. It is impossible. In fact, unless you're willing If you say, I'm just not willing to spend time in the Word, then you're not willing to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's how crucial. When Jesus makes this text, and when he's speaking to his disciples, he's using strong language. If you don't abide in me, you don't prove to be my disciple. If my words aren't in you, you're like a dead branch that's worthless, that needs to be thrown away and burned. Do you remember the story? I think it's in Luke 10. Martha and Mary. Jesus comes to the house, and I think it's Mary who's sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha's running all over the place. Well, let me read it. It's really good. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. That's what a disciple does. Sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now picture this. Picture this in your brain. Martha's doing all these good things. But the good things were getting in the way of the best. And she's running all over the place serving. And Mary's just sitting there soaking in everything that came out of Jesus' mouth. And Martha comes and says, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. And look what Jesus says. He says, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. Write this down. It's a quote from Beth Moore. Beloved, you will never waste time in God's Word. Beloved, you will never waste time in God's Word. Do you see Scripture as a necessity to your Christian life? Do you have people coming at you and saying, quit reading so much Scripture and help me do this? That's the. Do you linger in Jesus' presence and in His Word? And I talked about this last week, so I don't want to spend too much time on it. But I do want to read this to you. And it's important. I'll come back to it. This is a newsletter I got from some missionaries in China. And it says, basically, they're just talking about their ministry, and they wanted to read a story. It's very short. From 40 years ago, when China was communist, when there was complete, it's still communist and still very hard to share the gospel, but a long time ago, it was really hard. Like, you get put in jail completely. I mean, just awful. Listen to the story. This is, I think it's from about 40 years ago. A Chinese lady. I discovered for the first time something about God from a graduate student who had gone on a biking trip along China's famous Yellow River. His report was spoken in a hushed and careful manner, but it made a lasting impression on me. In the middle of his journey, a group of villagers asked him to do them a favor. It was Sunday night, and they gathered in a small shack in a dim oil lantern light, and they passed something that was wrapped in a thick black rain cloth to prevent water and damage. So picture this guy biking. He's English. He's biking. These people come to him and say, hey, you're English. You can read. Come. Come to our village. He stays in the village, and they pass around this Bible. It's wrapped, and it says he opened the cloth layer by layer, and it was a copy of the Bible. The pages had turned yellow, and the edges had many wrinkles. It was the only copy that was left by a missionary who was driven out of the country after the communist revolution 40 years earlier. They had kept it for all those years, risking their lives. They had only one problem. None of the villagers could read. So each time when they gathered to worship, they passed the Bible around, touching the Bible by their hands to feel connected with God's Spirit, and they begged Him to read the words to him. And He did. That night, He read and He read and He read, and the villagers looked at Him, hungry and thirsty for every word spoken from His lip, and they stood without moving, listening and listening until dawn broke through the window. To thank my friend's work to bring them God's words, they gave him a big bag of sweet potatoes to bring home, the only gift they had from their village. And for reasons I don't even understand, ever since that moment, even as I grew up, we were not allowed to know God, I began to see that God was in every part of my life. And several years later, that lady became a Christian. Picture that. They're passing a Bible around, touching it, spending time with a Bible that they can't even read. How important is this to you and me? If this is not important to you, be very concerned about your Christian discipleship. This is necessary to abide in the vine. To continue the camp experience, to abide in Christ, you must abide in the Scripture, and His words must abide in you. So that's the first thing. The next thing is love. Look at this. I think it's verse 9. Now get this. This should blow our minds. As the Father, this is Jesus speaking, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. Did you catch that? Jesus says, as the Father abides and loves me, Jesus, so do I love you. I mean, think about this. God, the Trinitarian God of the Bible, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you know, they existed before we were around. I don't know if anyone's ever told you that yet, but they did. And they existed in perfect unity with perfect love, because God is love. And God doesn't need us to be love. God doesn't need us to be love. Because perfect love exists in the Trinity between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what it is to just sit in the presence of the Trinitarian love of God? I mean, that should be unfathomable. And I think it is. I think it's unfathomable for us to understand the intimacy that exists between the Father and the Son. I mean, come on. Think about it. You guys know people who, if they have a boyfriend or girlfriend, that they call them up on the phone and they just want to breathe on the phone, and then they're content with just, you know, breathing on the phone with one another. You know, like, don't hang up. No, you hang up. No, I'll hang up. No, you... You know what I'm talking about? You guys have friends that do that. Some of you probably do that. I went to Texas with one of my friends, and he was about to get married, and he calls his fiance one of the nights we were there, and I swear, they spent 30 minutes like middle schoolers on the phone just saying, no, I don't want to go. I'm sorry, I have to let you go. No, it's okay, I don't want to go. Oh, you know, I love you. No, I don't want to go. Don't go. And I'm like, just tell her you love her and hang up so I get to sleep. Anyway, that's extra. The point is this. Do you behold the love of God? Do you understand what it means when Jesus says, I love you just as the Father loves me? Do you sit and stare into this God who loves like that? You know, it would be it's insane. It's insane for people not to abide in Jesus Christ. Because where else are you going to find a love like that? It's insane for people not to abide and spend time in His Word and in His presence. Because where else will you find a love like that? All right, I got to hurry. I've talked too long on one of them. God's Word, God's love, and then obedience. Obedience is the last one. Look at this. Abide in my love, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Now, did you catch that? Jesus is saying, here's how you love me. You obey me. You do. If you say you love me, but you don't do what I ask, then you really don't love me. You obey my commandments. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. If for no other reason, if you say, I just don't want to abide in Christ, let me encourage you, for no other reasons, do it for your own joy. Do it for yourself. If you don't want to do it for the Lord, do it for yourself. Abide in Christ, because that's where your joy is. So, the camp experience is continued by abiding in Christ on a regular daily basis, by feeding off the nutrients of the vine via His Word, via His love, via prayer, and via obedience. Let me share one more thing and then we'll close. Look at Luke 13. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Luke 13, 6 through 9. Now hear this. If you hear nothing else I've said, hear this. If you've heard nothing else, listen to this. And Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Man owns a vineyard. He comes to the tree to see if there's any fruit on it. He finds nothing, and he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find nothing. Cut it down. It's worthless. It's no good. Doesn't do anything. It takes up space. Why should it use up the ground? And look at verse 8. And he, the vine dresser, answered, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put on manure around it. Then, if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if it does not, cut it down. Here's what the parable is talking about. God is the vine dresser. And He's come to some of you year after year after year to seek fruit. Because that is what disciples do, is bear fruit. And He's seeking it, and every year He finds nothing. And He's fed up, and He says, I'm done with them, I'm going to cut it down and throw it out. And Jesus says, no. Stop. Let me put dirt around it. Let me water it more. Let me give it another shot and give it one more year. And if it bears fruit, then good. It's saved and it's cut down. But if it doesn't, take it away. Some of us in the room have had opportunity after opportunity to bear fruit. And we've passed it up each time. And there is a mediator standing by grace alone waiting for you to abide in the vine, place your faith in the vine, and daily be a disciple of Him and bear much fruit for His glory. I beg you, I implore you, abide in the vine. You can do nothing unless you trust in Christ and let Him bear the fruit in you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, Lord, I pray that right now, if you're speaking, pray right now that they will say, Lord, I don't want to be a barren tree. I want to bear fruit for you. And I pray that they will ask right now that you would live in them and produce much fruit in them because of your grace, because of your cross, because of your resurrection. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for the word. I pray that tomorrow when we wake up, we will be intentional about abiding in you. I pray these things in your name. Amen.